Oh my gosh. I'm gonna cry.
And here we go.
Like the waterworks come on.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Except I don't cry.
I'm not like emotional. And I like, I'm not one of those people that like hugs my friends all the time or like anything like that.
On but, special occasions.
Yeah.
I've been hugging a lot of people recently because I'm about to leave.
Yeah.
Phil came and hugged me.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
He saw me in the hallway today and wished me a happy holidays. So I was like, aww, thanks, Phil.
He's great. He's great. Mm. And yeah, it's so weird. Sorry we didn't podcast last week. We have a lot of apologies to make.
Yeah. Well, I figure for our farewell episode, at least Caitlin's farewell episode, it's appropriate to make amends.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was reading a message and I shouldn't have.
You're okay.
Oh, so last week, why we didn't podcast. Last week was the most miserable week of my college experience. And it was my last week of classes of my college experience.
I feel that. At least to some extent. I finished my, a good like 5 out of my 8 graduate school applications yesterday and turned those in. So I was like, it was very emotional. I had a breakdown on Sunday. So, and
I feel ya.
Yeah. So, that's my excuse for not podcasting. And your week sounds like hell. So you have an excuse too.
It was just like this crazy, like storm of like everything being due at the same time. And like some things I couldn't have done like mm-hmm. earlier. And that made it really hard when like everything I had to turn in. And so I like for 2 nights in a row, I didn't sleep like at all or during the day or anything.
Oh my gosh. Did you start to hallucinate?
I like started getting a little delirious. the second day after like this. So I guess it was like my 3rd day without sleeping because like you experience a day, you don't sleep. You experience a day, you don't sleep. And then like the next day.
So yeah.
This is day 3.
Cool.
I'm like walking down the stairs of my apartment and I like feel like a little like the world is spinning type of thing. And I'm like, do I have like vertigo or something? I'm like, this does not feel right.
Oh my gosh. I have been feeling bad for myself because I've only been getting like 6 hours of sleep at night. But for me, like my body like needs to hibernate at least like once in a 24-hour period if I'm going to function. So I admire your ability to stay awake for long periods without sleeping.
It was imperative. Like I had no choice at all.
But you got everything done?
Yes.
That's like the one thing that gets me going. It was like by this time, like whatever day, like I'm going to feel so good.
I know. And right now I'm done with 3 out of my 5 classes.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is my internship. And I just have to like write a couple responses for that. But I just have like one more like essay exam to take, which is like 3 essay questions.
Okay. And when do you take that?
Well, it's on Learning Suite, so I can take it anytime through Friday.
Nice.
But I'm going to try and do it late tonight before I drive home.
Are you driving home with like Brooke as
early
well?
In the morning.
Okay.
Yeah. Just in case you guys want to know my travel plans.
Yeah. I figure it's important to know.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a really fun last week. And...
But you're done. You're like
almost.
You're almost done.
Almost done.
You're 3 essay questions and a few responses away from being a college graduate.
Yes. It's pretty crazy. Just locked up the English department for the last time.
Oh, where we met. It's really beautiful.
Serendipitous. I was like so sad that Marissa was leaving. And I was like, oh. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, Madeline's the best. Marissa who?
Oh.
Just kidding. But kind of.
Oh, I guess we should do our disclaimer before we go any further.
Okay, yes. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast, oh dang it, are entirely our own and do not reflect the views and opinions of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and Brigham Young University with which it affiliates. I messed it up the last time I did it.
You know what? I don't think you can leave. Because you haven't gotten it perfect yet. Actually, we had this family in my ward who said that they weren't allowed to move houses until everybody knew what every light switch in the house did. And I was like, if that's the case, I'm never leaving anywhere because I will never know what every light switch does.
That is really funny.
Even in, like, the house that my parents are staying in right now, there are labels on all the light switches. Like, they have these, like, panels with like really like special buttons that have labels on them, and I still like get it wrong. I still like can't figure out how to turn on the lights in the bathroom.
That's really funny.
Yeah, it's pretty embarrassing. So,
all right, so we're gonna change things around a little bit today.
Mm-hmm. When have we ever like stayed on schedule for anything?
I know. So unfortunately, we're not gonna be able to finish the book together, which I'm really sad about.
I'll finish it with a Adam's sister, so it's
a
like
a new co-host.
Yeah, yeah, which will be coming to you in
January.
Studios in January.
But until then, you guys, might I recommend Serial, the new season?
Oh my gosh. When she called the Taliban at the end of the episode, I was like, oh my hell.
I was like, what is going
on? I was like, if she can get the Taliban on the phone, like, why isn't the president calling the Taliban on the phone? Seriously, journalists are amazing.
Yeah, I, as I was listening to the first episode of the new season of Serial, I was like, not quite sure how I felt about it.
That's how I felt until I got to the end.
Until I got to the
end.
And
then I was like, I'm hooked.
And then I was like, no! And I like slammed my hands down. I was like, this is not happening. I'm so 100% completely in.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It's just, and the way that you're like, did they just drop a Beyonce? And I was like, oh my gosh, they totally did.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Because I've been looking for the past few months. Like, I've checked, like, every month or so, if you're like, when is it coming back?
Well, finals week last year was when I first started listening to Serial. And I, like, blew through it in, like, finals week, which I don't recommend. Anybody, don't start a new Netflix show. Do not start a new podcast during finals week.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
One year I started The West Wing on finals week.
Oh, gosh.
Luckily, I, like, waited till June to, like, completely finish it. But, yeah, so I was, like, binging Serial. And so this whole, like, week-by-week thing is not flying with me.
That's what I've found has been most difficult about, like, Jane the Virgin and things. Oh, you should know that I have converted my entire, like, short story class to watch Jane the Virgin.
Yes.
So you're welcome. Also, my mom, I made her start watching Jane the Virgin now that you're not going to, like, live close to me. So I need to, like, talk to somebody about it. But, yeah, no, I was... It's just, like, it's dangerous. Like, you're treading on fragile ground when you open up a new Netflix show.
Yeah.
Do you watch multiple Netflix shows at the same time?
Yes.
Okay, I do that, too, and my sister thinks it's weird. She's like, I don't understand how you can focus on more than one thing. And I was like, I get tired of the storylines if they're, like, repetitive shows.
Or it just, like, depends on my mood.
Yeah.
I gave a friend recently a, like, a lengthy... explanation of why I love Chopped so much.
I am like obsessed with all the Food Network shows they put on recently. I've been blowing through Barefoot Contessa, which is my favorite cooking channel, or like my favorite cooking show
I've
on Food Network.
I've seen a few of those and I need to finish that.
Yeah, she's my favorite. She's my favorite like chef on Food Network. Like all of her food is just like so good and so authentic.
I have a rank of like my Food Network crushes.
I'm sorry, if you have Jadia De Laurentiis at the top, I don't think we can be friends.
Oh, she's not even in my top five.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Giada, who I do not like. Giada,
no, I do not like her either.
My number one is Scott Conant.
Love
from
him.
Chopped.
Is he the Italian restaurant owner?
Yes.
Okay.
My number two is Alex Gornishelli.
I love her.
Yes.
Her and what's the other female judge that
Amanda
appears?
Amanda Freitag.
Yeah, both. Do you think they look similar? I feel like they kind
of
look similar.
They have similar like face shapes.
Yes, but I love both of them.
Right. But, like, Amanda's a little sweeter. So
yes.
Is her palate.
I feel very, like, all aware of what these chefs like to eat.
Uh-huh.
I think I'd have to say my favorite judge on Chopped would be the guy with, the like, the gray hair and the glasses.
Oh, yeah, he's really good. But he's like not him. One of my crushes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah. My fourth one is Aaron Sanchez.
Love him.
Yes.
Have you seen his commercials for the, like, Cota cheese or whatever?
No, I don't have, like, real TV. I just
sometimes they come on,
Cota
like...
Cota cheese?
Yeah. I don't know. I just know that he advertises that.
Yeah.
That was a weird thing to say.
And my fifth one is Bobby Flay, even though he's a ginger.
Oh, gosh. Do you know he had an illegitimate child?
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, he seems kind of like a playboy, but he's a funny dude. I have to say, I don't know. I don't think I necessarily have, like, Food Network crushes, but, like, Alton Brown is, like, definitely at the top of one of my favorite, like, chef personalities.
He's great.
I think he's kind of hilarious.
Nerdy.
Yeah.
Same with what's his name on Chopped, the host.
Oh, yeah. What is his name?
I forget.
All I know is that he's super gay, because that's what, like, my parents say every time we watch Chopped, and I was like, why does this matter?
It doesn't matter.
But okay.
It doesn't matter. My mom likes to call us out now, because we used to say to her, like, if she would give a qualifier of, like, a person's race or sexual orientation, like, before she would tell us a story, we'd be like, Mom, is that relevant?
I do that to my family all the time, and they get really upset with me. I'm glad I'm not the only one. So now what does she do to you if you do the same thing?
Yeah, she does it to us. Like, if I say, like, oh, this, you know, gay person, whoever.
Yeah.
She's like, is the fact that they're gay relevant to your story? I'm like, well played, mother.
I like that. Is that relevant? Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to use that. That's a better way of saying, like, was that really necessary? Did you need to tell me that that person was a Mexican? I don't think so.
Was a Mexican.
Because that's how we define race in my family.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, that's not exactly correct, but okay.
Oh, that's funny.
Gosh, I sound like Donald Trump. I'm not racist.
Everyone's a little bit racist.
From Avenue Q.
Uh-huh. Oh goodness. Yeah, it's so weird to be peacing out.
But you're on to bigger and better things.
Or not. Or just unemployment and annoying my mother.
Both of which are viable options.
Though my friend Devin freelances. And so she's home all day. So I might just, like, go and make applying for jobs, like, a thing I do with her while she works.
Solid.
She doesn't know this yet, but I'm going to tell her tomorrow night when I see her.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So... I don't know. What are our goals for this episode, this final episode? Are we just shooting the...
Shooting from the hip, or...
No, it's just shooting the... It's a bad word. It's a phrase. Shooting the... Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. You guys, this is really entertaining radio.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I figured that we could talk about, like, maybe our... how our feminism has changed, since we started.
I think when we started that I was pretty... Well, I mean, like, we talked and we always gave qualifiers, like, we didn't know what we were talking about, you mm-hmm. know? But I kind of felt like I knew what I was talking about.
I did, too. I was like, I feel like any woman, any person really can be a feminist, and, like, any woman can speak to... like a female experience. So.
Right. But I was much less, like, educated mm-hmm. and much less. I mean, like, I read a lot about feminist issues, but I think I felt more confident than I actually should have been.
Mm.
And so since we've started, I felt less and less adequate as a feminist and as a spokesperson for feminism, which I don't know if I could consider myself one, but, like, I mean, I've tried, like.
I feel like you can. I feel like if you speak out in support of feminist issues, you can be a spokesperson. You're obviously, I think to say that you're, like, a spokesperson for, like, everybody's feminism isn't accurate, because I think if I've learned, like, anything over this period is that, like, feminism is very personal and individual to, like, everybody who considers himself a feminist.
Like the gospel.
Yes. But I think you're allowed to call yourself, like, a... vocalist of feminism, is that the right word? Uh-huh. I don't know.
I've gotten more involved in, like, the young Mormon feminist community, and I'm trying to be better read.
Mm-hmm.
I was the president of the Hoes That Read for a while.
Were you really?
Uh-huh.
That is awesome.
You know, you have connections to the secretary, so she could probably get you in.
Oh, are you serious? Brooke, I want in. I'm serious. Like, this is the thing that I need. I just want one of those sweatshirts, man.
We just had our first ever on Saturday, Hoes and Bros That Read. We invited...
Is there a group called, like, Bros That Read? No. Or you just, like, invited some bros that you know?
Yeah. And we read Feminism is for Everybody by Bell Hooks.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Yeah. Which, is really, really good, and led to really great discussion, because not everybody agreed with, like, exactly how she phrased everything. Mm-hmm. But it was really interesting to hear what the guys had to say. Not that, like, we needed their opinions to be, like, to validate our own feelings.
No, not at all.
But it was just interesting to, like, hear, like, about some of the things that, like, concerned us from, like, a male perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if they, like, saw those things. And my favorite thing was Haley, who was president before me, her boyfriend was there. And he, at the end, asked, like, what can I do as, like, you know, a feminist ally, like, you know, daily, like, that will help the cause.
Can I suggest an answer to that that I
sure,
heard that I really
like?
Sure,
I'll let you know what my answer was.
Okay, so I do not take credit for this at all, but I heard someone that say, says, like, we as women don't need to let men into the feminist conversation. They need to take their own feminist ideals and move them into conversations that have been traditionally male. Like, does that make sense? Like, we don't need to, like, make room for them in our, like, feminist movement. Like, they need to go and make, like, expand the movement in their own spheres. Does that make sense? Which I thought was, like, really cool. So, I mean, obviously, that requires, like, being a feminist ally, obviously. Yeah. But, I don't know, I like that way of, like, taking feminism and putting it into your own space rather than, like, forcing it on others. So, I don't know.
Interesting.
How to make that. Yeah.
I said that, and this is, you know, things that I've seen discussed a lot and has really resonated with me, was that, like, as a guy, you should stand up and call out sexism when you see it.
Agreed.
That's what you can do. Like, even if there were no women president, oh my gosh, you guys, I'm so tired. Even if there are no women present, if a guy friend or an employer or, you know, a classmate says something sexist, call them out.
Yeah.
You know? And because if you're quiet, then you're, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you're accepting it.
Yeah.
And you're kind of, like, giving support. Because, I mean, I talked about, like, you know, times where I've called out my bishop, whom I love, like, mm-hmm. for being sexist in ward council.
Yeah. And I think you've shared a couple of those experiences on
right.
the air.
And I'm like, it would be so nice. Like, I mean, now I'm not in ward council anymore.
So you don't know who's going to do that role for you.
If anyone. And it's, like, it'd be really nice if there were guys who would do that, you
mm-hmm.
know? Like, I really don't feel comfortable of us referring to, like, women that way.
Yeah.
Or,
like, maybe, hey, man, that joke wasn't very funny.
Right, exactly. And
or my favorite, I saw a comment, it's like, don't be that guy.
Right.
And have guys telling that to other guys.
I think there's very little of that. There are very few guys who are willing to, like, call out sexism when they see it.
And I think that there are a lot of, I think when you would ask most men, like, if they believed that women should have equal rights,
mm-hmm.
most of them would say yes. Actually, I've heard that here at BYU, that might not be the case. There was an American Heritage class that this girl, we were talking about feminism in Nick Mason's European Studies class. And he is a proud feminist, which I am, like, so impressed with. Like, I love hearing my professors, like, tout themselves as feminists.
Uh-huh.
But this woman, but there's this girl that was saying in one of her American Heritage classes, they asked the question with, like, the eye clickers, which basically is, like, an anonymous polling method that we use here on campus. And the question was posed, how many of you feel that women have a place in government? And only 40% said yes. Which means that, like, 10% of women also voted against themselves. Like, and that to me, and we were talking about how feminism at BYU is probably much less prevalent than it would be at other universities. And I think that's kind of what this podcast has been, like, trying to advocate, is realizing that you can be, like, a converted and devout member of the church and a firm believer of the gospel and still be a feminist.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. So I feel like maybe outside the, like, Utah County bubble, there are a lot of Mormon men and a lot of men in general that would be very supportive of feminism. So
there was a really interesting conversation that happened yesterday in the English department with some staff members,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not going to name names, but we were conversing over some hot chocolate, and things started to get real, like, feminist, like, really quick.
And as in support. Okay.
And, like, really abstract gospel ideas, like polygamy and, like, priesthood,
mm-hmm.
and a woman's role in the eternities, and, like, mm-hmm. all this stuff. And I was like, whoa, listening to these women that I'd never heard, like, speak like that.
Yeah.
Speak like that.
Mm-hmm.
And one woman in particular, I have kind of disliked her and her husband with a passion.
Kind of. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Like they gave me, like, some, like, staff members and stuff, like, or faculty members will give us secretaries, like, little treats or something uh-huh. for Christmas. And, like, we got some delivered by, like, her and her husband. I was like, ugh, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even like you.
I'll take your treats, but don't think this changes anything.
Right. But then I heard her talk about, like, what she believes mm-hmm. as far as, like, women in the church. And, like, she's written a paper about... Which I think is a little, I was just surprised, like, how, because there's polygamy here, she thinks that there will be polyandry in the eternity.
Interesting.
Because, you know, like, a balance of
yeah.
everything. And I was like, whoa.
I don't know if I would necessarily go that far.
No, I don't know if she, like, believes that is, like, a real thing. But,
yeah.
you know, like, as a concept. And I guess her husband told her that until he retires, she can't, like, publish it.
Interesting.
And then another staff member has also written something pretty, like, feminist.
Really?
Like, a short story. And she's, like, also can't publish this until I'm retired. And I'm like, who? I don't know. Like, I just wish that the conversation, I wish there were more moments like that. You know what I mean? Where women feel comfortable to talk mm-hmm. in a public setting about these kinds of issues.
Yeah.
Because I've been working in that department for 2.5 years, and I've never heard any of these women, like, talk like that. And I feel like a lot of women who maybe believe those things or who struggle with certain things don't feel like they can say anything or they can talk about it, or they have no one to talk to or turn to without people thinking that they're unbelievers or something, you know?
Yeah. No, I think a big thing that, like, feminism, and I think especially Mormon feminism, needs to create are, like, safe spaces where people are allowed to kind of, like, voice their fears and concerns without feeling judged or ostracized. Because I think a lot of people have this idea that if I don't, like, fully agree or fully understand all of the doctrine of the church, then I'm, like, heretical, or, like, I'm an akin to, like, a Kate Kelly, and everybody's going to want to excommunicate me if I, like, voice my feelings. And I was like, you know, while I may not agree with the idea of, like, polyandry and the eternities, like, the fact that she felt comfortable enough to, like, state something like that was, to me, is, like, very impressive.
Yeah.
And I think, like, we as women, while all our views on eternity and, like, our role as women might be different, we all deserve, like, a space that we can talk about those things without feeling in danger of, like, blasphemy.
Which is why so. I'm really grateful that we had this and that we did this podcast, because I feel like it's given me a space to kind of work through ideas or mm-hmm. thoughts I've had, or, like, things that I'm, you know,
yeah.
thinking about or read about, and, like, in a way that hopefully is, I mean, at least it's been helpful to me, and maybe it's been helpful to some other people. We have that one fan
who, yes,
like, we Skyped with that one time,
and honestly, like, that made me feel so happy. Like, not,
we love you, Rianne.
Yeah.
Rianne, Ryan. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, to be honest, like, this wasn't in any sort of, like, self-important or self-serving kind of way, but it was, like, what I'm saying resonates with other people, and that makes me feel good. And, yeah, that's not in a way to, like, make myself seem more important than I am, but, like, it makes me happy to know that there are other women, other people who feel as I do, and are, like, benefiting in some way, in, 'cause, like, I feel like one of my goals for this podcast was, like, I want to help other women as well as myself, like, understand Mormon feminism. And so the idea that, like, someone else is, like, gaining from that is, makes me really happy.
Mm-hmm. What was I gonna say? Oh, I wish that I had had that when I was younger, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just any kind of, like, true feminist icon or role model in the church.
Yeah.
I mean, like, abstractly, my mom, who says she's not a feminist and kind of, like, you know, has an aversion to the word.
You and me both.
Right. But, and I think about my leaders, my young women's leaders, and they were great women, but I don't think I could have ever have gone to them with certain things that concern me, you know?
No. I feel, at least from where I grew up, there was a real lack of diversity in the church. All of the women that were my leaders had, they had all lived like pretty much the same lives. And this life is totally valid, but all of them had gotten married fairly young and had kids early and had decided to stay at home, and that was their life. And which is great, because for some people, like, that is what they want, and I'm really happy that they are in a position where they can choose to make that choice. But I feel like I lacked the opportunity to see how my life might be different than that, because I feel like it's dumb to assume that everybody's life is going to follow the exact same path. So I don't know. I feel like hopefully, like, in the future, I'll have, like, leaders, and, like, if I have children, they'll have leaders that are, like, more diverse in their opinions and their lifestyles. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hopefully I can be that for someone. I would proudly fill the liberal feminist role in a presidency.
Excellent. And I mean, like, here at school, I've been able to find people like that too.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
I said goodbye to Kristen Matthews today.
Oh, did you cry a little bit?
I mean, like, inside, because yeah, it's hard for me to express my feelings. But I love her so much. And she's like, keep in touch. I'm like, obviously.
We will be talking all the time.
We will be so in touch. We just became Facebook friends today. No big deal.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So. Do you have any kind of final thoughts or?
I feel, as like cliche as this is, that I need to like bear my testimony about the gospel, because as I've been working on this podcast, I've been working through like a lot of things that have, I think this is probably one of the catalysts that has caused me to like work through a lot of questions that I've had about the gospel. And it's because of this podcast that my parents are actually really worried that I'm going to apostatize. So I found out that my mom like had actually listened to one of them, and it was the one where we started out with the word genitalia,
right?
Which she asked me to edit out, and I told her I would, but I'm probably not going to. So this is for her and for my dad, and for anybody else who like really feels like this is necessary. But like, if I'm being like, I know that God lives, and I know that Jesus Christ is our Savior, and that He loves us, and that He atoned for our sins. And I staunchly believe that God is a feminist and that He loves all of His children, men and women. He's no respecter of persons. I have a lot of questions about the gospel, but, I am in full support of, what I've learned so far. I'm really grateful for the church and for what it's done for me. And I know it's not perfect, but it's pretty darn good. And I don't know, I am excited and happy that I am a member of this church. I'm grateful that like I was born into the gospel and that I didn't have to find it on my own, because I don't know if I would have been as receiving as I think I, as I sometimes think I might've been. But I don't know. And I really want to make sure that like my life is dedicated to, spreading the gospel in that, just like telling people that like Christ and God love you, because I think that's at like the heart of what we've been talking about, is that because God loves all of His children, that like we as women deserve just as much as our brothers. So hopefully that was okay.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't know, I promise mom and dad that I really do believe in God. So
I have had that conversation with my parents too. I don't know, for me, I'm comfortable with my relationship with my Heavenly Father and with my Savior. I know that I'm so far from perfect, but I don't know, especially with things that have happened to me recently, I'm really grateful for the gospel in my life. For like the cheesy reason that like I love my family, and I like the hope that we can be together forever is what sustains me, because I don't know, like, without the gospel, I wouldn't have that confidence, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I am grateful for, like, the precious moments of, like, revelation that I've had while I've prayed or while I've been kind of pouring out my heart to my Heavenly Father. And, like, those moments are so real and so important to me and so, like, undeniable that those are the things and those are the times that I look back on when I'm, like, doubting and when I'm struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm, like, in that moment, like, it wasn't anything else.
No.
I was totally ready in those moments to not believe. And I would have been okay with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so because of those experiences, those really, really sacred experiences, I, like, keep going and I keep trying. Mm-hmm. And I keep trying to be better and to try and understand, you mm-hmm. know? But, yes, I'm very grateful that we could do this.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I have grown closer to my Heavenly Father and, like, better understood myself, like, my role as a child of God, like, through this podcast, which I guess sounds kind of dumb when I say it out loud, but I think it's true.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know what you're talking about, those, like, tiny little moments where, like, you have felt like God's presence are very real. And to me, like, that is like the most powerful factor in my, like, my decision to remain in this gospel is because of those times that I have felt God perhaps not, like, speaking to me, but, like, communing with me in a way. That's probably a better word. So because of, like, his, like, undeniable presence, like, that to me is what keeps me here. So yeah.
All right, should we close?
I think so. I, like, honestly don't think, I don't know, I think that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you for listening, to those of you who still do.
Yeah, I have no idea how many people are out there. My parents ask me this all the time, and I was like, you know what, maybe it's, like, 2 people.
Maybe.
And if that's the case, that's okay. Because to be honest, I think this podcast was probably more for me than it was for anybody else. I needed this.
Right.
And that sounds terribly selfish, but I did. I needed it.
It's okay. So. No, I'm grateful that it's given us an opportunity to hang out.
And oh, yeah.
I'm, like, really good friends.
No, seriously.
Though I have too many, like, really young friends. So I just, like, stop it with all of you, like, babies.
I really am sorry for making fun of your age so many times.
How dare you?
Yeah. To think that Doctor Who fan fiction brought us together.
Oh,
what a ride.
Seriously. All right, you guys, I don't, like, after we close, like, I don't know when I'm going to see Maddie again, so.
It's going to be sometime soon,
it's
because
be
I want to come visit you in California.
Excellent, and you're invited.
Yes.
You're not all invited.
Yeah, only me.
Pre-approval. All right, peace out, thank you all, and enjoy my sister next semester.
Yes, Brooke and Maddie coming to a studio near you.
All right, you guys, I'm going to, like, do this right, is it pause or stop?
It's the stop button.
Stop button, okay.
Bye, guys.